recap of Sunday's readings, it's time for Homily Highlights on Mater Dei Radio.
And this is Monsignor Gerard O'Connor with his fourth homily for this series in Advent.
Father Ricardo identifies these two fundamental responses to Jesus' rescue, to Jesus' rescue of us. The personal response, our own encounter with Christ, and then the missional, if you like, the mission response. What are we doing to take the kerygma into the world? What are we doing to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who live in darkness? And it is a very dark world out there. All you have to do is walk from here to downtown and see the human suffering that we have on our streets, the lack, the breakdown of the family, the loneliness of people in this world. And you often think, I do at least, if they only knew the love of Christ in their lives, it might change things. Things could only be better, even if they only had a glimpse of the love of God in their lives. Father Ricardo would say, the first manifestation of a personal response to Jesus Christ is one of gratitude, is understanding that we're grateful to God for all he's given us. And the most important thing he's given us is our faith. The very fact that we pray and that we can express our gratitude to God means that we've got faith. And that is foundational in our lives, that we've got faith. We should always thank the Lord for that. The Eucharist is the highest action of gratitude that we can have. Eucharist is a Greek word, it means thanksgiving. We give thanks to the Lord when we come here at Holy Mass. When we represent the sacrifice of Christ, that sacrifice that rescued us from the bonds of sin, we give thanks to the Father for becoming man and offering himself so that we might be redeemed. The Eucharist, therefore, is the source and summit of our lives. It is the center of our whole Christian life. It is the most important thing. And therefore, we cannot treat Holy Mass casually. We cannot treat it as something that is optional. It should be the focus of our very being. We had our Christmas concert this week on Wednesday. Our school has a Christmas concert, and we haven't done it for a couple of years because of COVID, but it's always very popular. And so it was at 7 o'clock, and we say we'll open the doors at 6:30. And so about 6 o'clock, we're in here putting the sound together and things, and we hear voices on the steps of the cathedral. And those voices get louder and louder as it approaches 6:30. And then we open the doors at 6:30, and it was like Black Friday at Walmart. Everybody just stormed in. Within about 3 minutes, the church was full of 1,000 people because everybody wants to get the front seats so they can see their kids sing, et cetera, which is fair enough. But I thought to myself, wow, if we only understood what Holy Mass was about, if we only understood what the Holy Eucharist was about, that would happen every time I opened those doors. 1,000 people would rush in here and fill these seats. They want to get closer to the altar, to the action of what's happening, to witness the sacrifice of Christ on his altar. But we're not there yet, obviously. But you know, we can't put other things before God. If we really have that personal encounter with Jesus Christ, then we experience him in all aspects of our life. And the ultimate or the pinnacle of that is celebrating Holy Mass, is coming to Holy Mass, and receiving Christ in the most holy Eucharist. And if we could just get that, we wouldn't put things before him. We wouldn't put all the other things in our lives, all the things that we would call idols, you know. There's a popular evangelical pastor called Timothy Keller who writes, anything, what is an idol, he says? Anything that we put before God is an idol, you know. We don't have to think about a graven image, you know. It's anything, whether it's soccer or football or ballet or whatever we do. And when we do that, when we choose that over going to Mass, or over prayer, etc., we put those things before God. And that is a very dangerous thing. Because if we can do it once, we can do it twice. And then it becomes a habit. And then we eliminate God or render him ineffective in our lives. So that personal encounter, that transformative encounter, ongoing encounter with Jesus Christ is what it's all about. If we accept the kerygma, If we accept that, it goes through everything in our lives. If we understand that we're created out of love and goodness, we were rescued by Jesus Christ from the power of sin and death, and if we remember these basic things in our life, then we live differently, because Christ changes everything. We don't live in fear. We live in joy. We're not frightened of death. We look forward to death because we will be with our Lord for all eternity. This life is so brief. We live differently, just as the early Christians did. You know, the early Christians, everybody, you know, they talked about the Christians. It's like they're just different from everybody else because of the way they behave. Everyone knew what a Christian was like, and they were joyous. Even when they were being taken off to be martyred in the Colosseums, they were singing hymns and psalms because they were going to the Lord. That's how we behave. That's if we've got that personal encounter with Christ, we do things differently. We don't worry. We're not anxious about things. We trust in the Lord. We surrender ourselves to Him. Something happened this week, which is, you know, it's, the Lord just puts things in your life sometimes to sort of remind you about something, and it's massive piece of providence. On Monday of this week, I got an email from an old friend of mine, a priest who worked in Rome for the last 35 years. And I went to Marist Old Boys High School. And he taught there, but he taught my brothers before me. And he left by the time I went through school. But I met him in Rome when I worked there, and we became good friends. And in fact, he helped me a lot with my studies when I was there. He's very expert in a particular area of theology. Anyway, so Tony sent me an email saying, "Oh, I'm back in Hull, which is the town I grew up in. I'm living on Beverly Road, which is just around the corner from the Hayworth pub, if you know where..." No, you don't know that. Anyway, I know exactly where the house is. The Maris father's got a house there now, so he's back there. He's retired. He's back. It's like full circle. He's gone back to the place where he came from after all these years in Rome, right? So anyway, that was good. So I called him and I spoke to him, and we had a good chat, and it was reminiscing about being in Hull. I haven't been back for a long time, but obviously it's where I grew up. And then, so I talked to Tony. That afternoon, I got an email from a high school buddy that I haven't heard from for 32 years, from Hull. Now, this is strange because we left school at 18, I went to London to university, he went to Sheffield, and we'd keep in touch, you know, or we lost touch. Then about 3 years later, I was working in London, he came to London and he looked me up and we went out for dinner, and that was it. And that was 33 years ago, and I haven't heard a word from him since. And so he wrote me an email. He said, "I've been looking for you. I've thought about you often. I looked for you. I couldn't find you. And now I just realized you're a priest. And now when I look for you on the internet, you're everywhere." But he was looking in all the wrong places, because when he knew me, I worked for a high-tech company in London. So he thought I'd be working at Microsoft or Apple or something like this. So he never thought, he didn't know I'd become a priest, right? So he wrote and he said, "Hey, if you're not too frightened or traumatized about going back into your past, do you want to talk?" So I said, "Sure, why don't we FaceTime?" So we did. So I'm sort of speculating what's happened. And I had a bet with the seminarians. I said, "I bet he's divorced, because most of my generation are divorced, right?" And they said, "I wonder what he's like." And it's slowly a bit dangerous. Not dangerous, of course, he'd going into a FaceTime with someone. He could have been FaceTiming from prison. You know, I don't know where he was, what he was doing, anything about him, 32 years. But I do have fond memories that we did have a good friendship at school, right? And so we FaceTimed and talked. And it was really enjoyable. It was good. And at the end, we talked for about an hour. At the end, he said, "Well, that wasn't awkward at all, was it?" And I said, "No, it wasn't. It was sort of fun." But during the conversation, we talked about, we had another close friend called Andy, who died at 40 from leukemia. And Phil never knew that. He didn't keep in touch with Andy, so I did. He never knew that. We have another friend whose mother just died, and, you know, things like this. So we're catching up on all this sort of stuff. He's married with two kids. And anyway... But the question had to come up, right? I had to ask. I'm the priest. I said, "Phil, what's your spiritual life like? Are you still practicing your faith?" And he said, "Nope." He said, "I'm a real atheist. I don't believe at all." And I'm like, oh, you know, when it's like, oh, Phil, come on. We've been at school together since we were five. He practiced his faith with us until we were 18, you know? That's all I knew. And, went through Catholic school, went to this Marist College, old boys school, and he's just atheist, doesn't believe anything, you know. And we had a great conversation, and we promised that we'd keep in touch as we go forward in life. And he said to me, one day I'd like to sit down with you and talk to you about that. And I said, absolutely. I said, we should do this. But anyway, we ended the conversation, and I thought to myself, and I just prayed, and I said, Lord, thank you for giving me my faith. Because I couldn't live like that. Now I know Jesus Christ. Now I've had this relationship with him. To have that taken away from me, the most precious thing I have in this world, it would be so devastating, it'd be unbelievable. And I just imagined Phil, and I'm like, how can you live like that and just not have any knowledge of God or just don't believe anything? Surely your life must be miserable if you don't believe anything. It must be sad. It must be dark as well, right? So, my brothers and sisters, what I'm getting at is this encounter with Jesus Christ, this ongoing transformational encounter with Jesus Christ, is the most valuable thing that you have. Your faith in Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that God can give you. Despite the trials of life that you will go through, the ups and downs, the sorrows, the joys, all that, this foundation of your faith in Jesus Christ is the most important thing. To live without it is inconceivable as far as I'm concerned. It is the greatest gift that God has given you. So when we look at that personal relationship, the first movement in that relationship is one of thanksgiving. Is thanking Lord, being grateful for the gift of faith. And the ultimate expression of that gratitude is the participation in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Because it is this where we are represented the rescue that Christ performed to save us from sin and death, that we might have life and life eternal.
And that is your homily highlight from Monsignor Gerard O'Connor, the rector at St. Mary's Cathedral, the Immaculate Conception here in Portland.